Next talk will be given by John Chorver from the University of Arizona, and is entitled DOM Effect on Detection of Organic Contaminants, Compensation, and Matrix Interfering.
So I'm giving this talk on behalf of research scientist in our lab, Leif Abril, who's unable to make it here, as well as the rest of our group, including our collaborator, Benny Sheffetz, who's the co-convener of today's session. So the objectives of our work are to probe interactions of organic micropollutants, and specifically we're looking at this class of micropollutants called endocrine-disrupting compounds, pharmaceuticals, and personal care products. So these are, tend to be present at trace levels in typically in wastewaters, effluent from wastewater treatment plants. And we're using fluorescent spectroscopy combined with liquid chromatography tandem mass spec. And specifically, we want to look at the influence of DOM on LCM-SMS detection and quantification. That is, in the presence of DOM, do we see suppression of signal, ion suppression, or do we tend to see enhancement? The effect of whether we see enhancement or suppression would give rise to uncertainties in measurements that are made in the presence of dissolved organic matter. And we want to compare the effects of wastewater and freshwater sources of DOM, including both hydrophobic and hydrophilic components. So the DOM sources that we're using derive from both a wastewater source, which is a primary sludge source in Tucson, Arizona, that's been centrifuged and filtered. And we're also using the IHSS standard Suwannee River natural organic matter as a model of our freshwater source. So these EDCs are typically released into water. They're introduced into the environment with wastewater discharges, so they're accompanied by wastewater organic matter. If they persist during transport, they tend to associate with freshwater organic matter. So Suwannee River organic matter is kind of our model of freshwater organic matter. Obviously, both of these are mixtures, sort of polydispersed mixtures of molecules of mean molar masses or apparent molar masses that are shown here. Some high-performance size exclusion chromatography data shows somewhat of a monomodal distribution of masses for the Suwannee River organic matter, a more polydispersed distribution of masses for the wastewater organic matter using just an absorbance detector. Here are fluorescence excitation emission spectra of the two DOM sources at about 8 milligrams per liter of carbon, and they show distinct fluorescence fingerprints, and we are using a method that was developed by Chen et al. Where we're integrating the volume under these fluorescence excitation emission matrices to get an idea of the relative fluorescence associated with different regions, which are attributed to different biomolecular types, predominantly phenolic or humic acid-like materials up here, more fulvate-like lower molar mass and hydrophilic acid-type materials down here, and proteinaceous materials here. You can see that there's a distinct difference between the wastewater and Suwannee River organic matters. That's typified by sort of more biomolecular constituents or categories in the wastewater organic matter, more terrestrially sourced phenolic type materials in the Suwannee River organic matter. That's confirmed also by the FTIR spectra, which are shown here, very large sort of polysaccharide region for the wastewater organic matter, also proteinaceous material, large phenolic peak for the Suwannee River. So there are distinct differences between these types of organic matter. The suite of organic compounds or micropollutants we're interested in are listed here. These are, again, EDC PPCPs that range from being personal care products to pharmaceutical compounds, estrogens, and also industrial products. Many of these have been identified as being endocrine-disrupting compounds that have bioactivity even at very low concentrations that occur in natural waters. And so understanding their behavior in the presence of DOM is essential to predicting sort of environmental risk assessment. So one way that we're looking at the interactions between these compounds and DOM is by using fluorescence quenching methods. We're looking at the fluorescence excitation emission matrices of the DOM, and then we're looking at how that fluorescence is quenched by interaction with different compounds. Quenching can occur as a dynamic interaction, collisional interactions. It can also be static interactions between the molecules and stronger binding. Those we're not deconvoluting from these data, all we're looking at are what are the areas within the fluorescence excitation matrix that's being quenched. And we can see that different types of contaminants, like bisphenol A, even present at low concentrations, these are sub-PPM levels in all cases, are giving rise to reproducible types of signals in these quenching matrices. And also there are differences both between the organic matter types and between the compound types in terms of the portions of the spectra that are being quenched. And we can attribute that then to interactions with these different molecular types that are being integrated in the excitation emission matrices. We also are interested in looking at how these are obviously very polydispersed suspensions of dissolved organic matter. If we isolate the dissolved organic matter into different fractions using a method that derives originally from Jerry Lanier and has been modified by Benny Sheffetz and others, we're separating these DOM components into hydrophilic acids, bases, and neutrals, and hydrophobic acids, bases, and neutrals that putatively can be assigned sort of dominant molecular classes, but of course even these fractions are still mixtures of DOM molecular types. And when we do that for our two wastewater and Suwannee River organic matter sources, we see some distinct differences that are consistent with the results we were looking at before. Suwannee River organic matter has a much larger hydrophobic acid fraction, these phenolic compounds, lignin-derived, terrestrial plant-derived material degradates. Wastewater organic matter more dominated by constituents that are typically associated with microbial degradation products of anthropogenic carbon sources. So these two organic matter sources have different distributions. There's a certain amount of the carbon that we're not recovering in these fractionation schemes that's shown here. And we can look as well at the FTIR spectra, in this case, diffuse reflectance FTIR spectra of the different fractions. And we see that the patterns support what we are hoping, for the most part, to separate out. But again, we see mixtures in that there's this large phenolic OH peak associated with all the fractions of Suwannee River organic matter, much smaller in the case of wastewater organic matter, again, consistent with what we've seen before. Much larger polysaccharide peaks in the case of the wastewater organic matter than in the case of the Suwannee River organic matter. So there are some differences that we can explore with respect to the chemistry of these compounds. When we inject these types of solutions onto a tandem mass spec, and in this case we collect the full M over Z or mass spectrum of the compounds, we can start to see some differences between the bulk Suwannee River organic matter, which shows again this very large forest of peaks associated with a large mass distribution, large polydispersity in the bulk Suwannee River organic matter. And then the fractions, the hydrophilic acid and hydrophobic acid and neutrals, exhibit different patterns consistent with an isolation of different types of molecules in these different pools. Now, what was our main interest in this work was to try to identify what the impacts of these different organic matter fractions would be on the behavior of LC tandem mass spec and our recovery of these contaminants by LC tandem mass spec. And mass spec interferences in electrospray ionization can come and give rise to either suppression or enhancement. And it occurs in large part as the liquid, the stream coming off the chromatographic column is transferred into the gas phase prior to entrance into the first quadrupole of the mass spec. And so you produce ions that can be either suppressed or enhanced by the presence of organic matter through charge transfer or charge suppression processes. And typically we're looking at negatively charged ions that are produced or positively charged ions that are produced depending on the contaminant of interest. So here is our calculation of the matrix factor, where we're taking the analyte peak response in the presence of the matrix, in this case DOM, and dividing it by the peak response in the mobile phase. Where experimental design involves injecting a target analyte mixture, so the full suite of compounds, over the chromatography column that then mixes following, coming off the column with an infused solution of DOM's solution of various DOC concentrations prior to introduction into ESI tandem mass spec, and then integrating the peaks as a function of that DOC concentration. So what's shown here is matrix effect. The matrix effect becomes stronger as you go from 0 to 100. Zero is there's no matrix effect. It's the same as the blank, DOM-free blank. With increasing DOC concentration in all cases, we see an enhancement of the matrix effect or a suppression of the signal. So we're seeing a significant decrease in the signal intensity with increasing DOC concentration for the most part, with some exceptions where we actually see signal enhancement over portions of these curves. And there are differences as well by the different fractions. Here's the bulk Suwannee River organic matter, and here are the different hydrophobic and hydrophilic acid fractions. In general, the fractions show, in fact, a higher level of suppression than the bulk DOM solution. So, and these are compounds arranged in order of decreasing log KOW, so highest, most hydrophobic compound up here, most hydrophilic compound down here, and they go in this order. And we see some interesting patterns with respect to the analysis method by electrospray ionization in that the matrix effect is greatest. It's actually quite high for the hydrophilic acid fraction. It's also relatively high for the hydrophobic base fraction, but it's different for the different compounds. Those compounds that are measured in ESI negative mode show a smaller matrix effect in the presence of the hydrophilic acid fraction than those compounds that are analyzed in the ESI positive mode. And the reverse is shown for the hydrophobic base fraction. For the hydrophobic base fraction, the greatest matrix effect, which was very significant, by the way, was most important for those compounds that are analyzed in the ESI negative mode, so negative ions. We've been using sort of combining mass spec with fluorescence quenching to get a better sense of what are the constituents within, or what are the portions, if you will, within the excitation emission matrix that's giving rise to this large matrix effect. So ibuprofen, for example, is one of our analytes that has a very significant suppression of recovery. We're recovering 30% in the presence of the hydrophilic acid fraction. In this case, 8 milligrams per liter of carbon and pH 7.5. And we can see that that's probably due to interactions with some of these constituents, both in what's the putatively assigned fulvate portion, so lower molecular weight organic acids, some of the proteinaceous materials, and also microbially derived proteins, which tend to fluoresce in this region here. Similar behavior is shown both for the wastewater and the Suwannee River organic matter fractions in terms of the mass recovery, the influence of the different fractions of organic carbon, and some similarity as well in the quenched regions of the excitation emission spectrum. So, to conclude, bulk and fractionated DOM distinctly affect the target analyte response as measured by electrospray ionization tandem mass spec when we're using multiple reaction monitoring as our detection and quantification method. And this experimental approach, specifically the infusion method, provides a quantitative measurement of matrix effects. It hasn't been applied before to studies of recovery with respect to trace organic contaminants in the presence of DOM. And these matrix effects are manifest as ion suppression for the most part, rather than, say, ion enhancement. But we see very distinct effects for different EDC PPCPs and also for different DOM fractions. Overall, the hydrophilic acid fraction of DOM seems to be the most important one with respect to ion suppression. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge funding sources for this work from the National Science Foundation, BARD, and the Water Research Foundation in particular. Thanks for your attention. I'll take any questions you have.